just feel like there's something in this room that you're singing those words, but do you really know that if you put your trust in God, that he will show himself to you, that he'll reveal himself to you, that he'll give you what you need? God, we put our trust in you. We choose right now to put our trust in you, that you are the firm foundation, that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what waves crash, even if the earth shakes around us, God, that nothing can move the foundation that we built our lives on.
Yes, Lord.
And we praise you, Lord, that we can always trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that we can always, always rely on your goodness. You are a firm foundation. You are a firm foundation. You are a firm foundation. You are a firm foundation for our lives. And we give you praise. Give God praise for just a moment.
As we were worshiping, I just kept feeling like there's this big cloud like right over us. Excuse me. And I feel like there's people in this room that need renewed hope. They need renewed faith. And this is for every single person in this room, not just the young, not just the old. This is for every single person, is that when we trust in him, when we pour out our hearts, when we pour out our hearts, he is our refuge. Just like Jordan is saying, and that refreshing spirit is for every single person in this room. The faith isn't just for the young. The faith is for you too. Renewed hope is for you too. So as we come expectant today, and when we leave this place, that faith that you're going to see come out of all these young people is for you too. It isn't just for the young. God is not done with you yet. So don't stop trusting in him. Don't stop believing that he has something good for your future. He has more for you. It doesn't matter how old you are or what you've done, because you've been redeemed and you've been set free. So thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So what's next is equally as powerful. We're going to hear from some of our amazing high school students and college students. You guys can be seated. You're going to hear from some of them, and then God's going to be speaking to some of you about getting involved, and I hope that you guys answer that call. You know, our church is committed. Our church is committed to reaching and releasing young people. We're committed to reaching and releasing. We're not just here to tell them that Jesus loves them. We're here to tell them that Jesus loves them in a way that they can then go out and tell other people about the love of God. So I'm gonna call all the speakers up. Come on up, guys, take your seats. You can give it up for them as they're walking up. It's a good looking group of people. I would encourage you, there's a lot of people up on this stage. Some of them are going to be speaking in this service. Some of them are going to be speaking in next service. I encourage you, if you have the time, to stay for both. Because, man, you are not going to want to miss what God is going to say. First amazing young lady that I would like to invite up is someone who's been in the internship program. She's been a part of our amazing student leadership team. And I've known her for years, and she is just like on fire for God. Can you welcome up with me, Miss Maddie Bravo?
Hey guys, what's up? How's everybody doing today? Everybody excited for Generation Sunday? Yeah. All right. I just wanted to talk to you guys about life. You know. Yeah, life is life, right? God never said it was going to be easy, but he did say we never had to go through it alone, right? But you know, life is life, right? And sometimes it hits you really hard. But it's important, because God uses those moments to give us more faith, to make our faith grow and to reveal how good he truly is. And in my opinion, good is such an understatement to characterize God for who he is. And I believe it's so vital to stay close to God in these moments and keep leaning in during the seasons of refinement and teaching. Because even when the whole world is telling you to turn your back away from God, you must keep leaning in. And in the Bible, there's one specific man who reminds me of this, and it's Job. And if you guys don't know who Job is, he was a man that loved and faithfully served God. And the devil saw this, right? And he went up to God one day, and he was like, I bet if you let me mess around with him, you're right, he'll turn around. He'll leave you. And God knew Job, and he said, no, go ahead. I know him. He won't. So all in one day, Job lost his animals, his servants, and his children. And with this, we see something very clearly. In the face of disaster, the world's expectations for us are to leave God and sink into the disaster that's surrounding us. And it wants us to start identifying ourselves with the mess, with the, I'm not good enough. Everything I do just fails. I can't do anything. I'm not worth it. And we're losing sight of the one thing that truly matters, and that is God. And, you know, Job gives us a perfect example of what we must do during these seasons. And he gets down and he prays. In Job 1:20-22, he said, Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. And all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. And it's so crazy because he lost everything, yet his first reaction was to pray, to go to God, because he realized something. He knew that even though everything around him was falling apart, to his left, to his right, in front of him, he knew that his God was bigger than the disaster and that he walked by faith and not by sight. And you know, not only does the world have expectations, but they tell us how to react. And everybody has an opinion. You see, Job's friends and even his wife, people that are so close to him that were there to encourage him, were doing the exact opposite, you see. In Job 2:9, this is his wife speaking. He says, his wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die, right? Somebody that you're supposed to be doing life with and speaking into you is turning around and telling you to leave God. But Job heard her, right? He heard all his friends too. And he was basically saying, like, no, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear it. But it's not matching up to what my God has for me and what he's been telling me. And it's so important to see this. And I have gone through something similar. For you guys that don't know my story, I was born with cleft lip and palate, which means it's a birth defect. I just recently turned 17 3 months ago, right? And I've had 38 surgeries. That's roughly 2 to 3 surgeries every year since I was born. And you see, people born with what I have are often looked down upon because we're different. And one thing I remember so clearly in every appointment was saying, giving me advice on like how to speak, because they told me from a very young age, I won't be able to communicate as properly as others because of my defect. And they were telling me, I have all these services that can help you speak better, but you're never going to speak as another person. And with that, being told at such a young age, I didn't have the confidence, and the other people I knew with this didn't have the confidence either, and we never spoke. And if you would have told me 2 years ago that I'd be up here speaking today to you, I would have laughed. I would laugh really hard. So this is a big accomplishment for me and for what God's done in my life. And you see, there's something I realized, and I believe so did Job. You see, the world is going to tell you to believe in your circumstances, and that's what defines you, and that's what limits you. But there's something else, you know. The outside voices does not define us. It does not limit us, because you know what? My God has called me to something better. Yeah. And I am not a slave to my circumstances, because I know who I am and whose I am. And my God has a plan for me to prosper and not to fail. And when we start giving into those lies of like, oh, I can't do this and that because of my circumstances, it robs us of what God has for us. And And I don't know about you guys, but I want every single little thing that my God has for us, for me. So right now, I just want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for those that feel stuck in their situation or feel that their circumstances are defining or limiting them. I pray against the voices of the enemy telling them that they aren't worthy. God, I pray that you break off those chains that are holding them down and that you surround them with your peace and your love, God. You just give them the guidance to step into what you have for them. Amen.
Maddie, bravo. Thank you. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for defying the odds. Thank you for looking to God for your identity and your boldness, and that's fire from a young person. Amen? Thank you, Maddie. I get the privilege to serve the young adults here, and what I love hearing is different perspectives, that we have so many opportunities right here to find our perspective. But what we're going to see today is people, young people, looking to God for their perspective. And that gives me hope for our generation. That gives me hope for our world. And this young lady, she serves in reality. So she's helping out Jordan, which is awesome. But she also comes to young adults, and she's one of our leaders. She's usually in the back, and you don't hear much of her. But she has a creative perspective on life that might just shift the way you think about things. So let me introduce, without further ado, Claudia Sandberg.
Thank you. Good morning, Gateway. Yeah, my name is Claudia, and I just feel so blessed to be here and be able to get to share a little bit of my heart with you all. So if you don't know me, I am an artist. I'm currently going to San Jose State and pursuing a bachelor's in fine arts. And I just love to paint, to draw, and to express myself through my art and create narratives and stories through my art. And I truly believe that the creativity that I have is a reflection of what God has placed in me. So naturally, creativity is something that's really special to me, and I just love so much that we have a creative, poetic God. I think we can see so much of his creativity in what he created, home, our planet Earth, and also in the New Testament, I think we can see a lot of creativity in Jesus when he spoke through his parables. Jesus really could have just spoken things plainly and simply, but he chose intentionally to speak in this poetic language through the parables. He chose to describe things in such a beautiful, creative way, and I just love this so much about him. So I'd like to share a parable with you all, the parable of the mustard seed, which is in Mark 4:30-34. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." I love this parable. I love how simple it is. I love how descriptive it is, how visual it is. And I think it's a cool one to share right now, because actually, if you go outside and look around, there are these beautiful yellow flowers everywhere, and those are actually mustard plants. And I can really just picture Jesus walking around, seeing a mustard plant, and thinking, and a huge one that grows so big, and that in that moment, God spoke to him. And I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if he saw it, and in that moment, God spoke to him and gave him a word to share with his disciples. And in his other parables, too, we can see that they came from ordinary daily life. In the parable of the lost sheep, he uses the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep to describe God's love for us. I mean, such an ordinary thing, a relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. I used to work in the restaurant industry, and it was a really, really rough job. I was a waitress. It was stressful. If you've done it, you know. And I would pray before work often just that it would go well and that God would use me. And there was this one day at work I remember specifically where the atmosphere was just different. Everyone was working together, encouraging each other, supporting each other, and I was overwhelmed by how it felt. And I just felt the Lord telling me that this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is what it looks like when the body of Christ works together. He spoke to me in my workplace at Olive Garden, of all places. God wants to speak to you in your everyday life. He will speak to you if you listen. Maybe not necessarily in metaphors, but his heart desires to share things to you. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit to talk to us through our everyday, daily lives. We can't shut out his voice and just reserve it for only ministry or church times. I mean, if we did this, just think of how much we would miss out on, how much beauty, how much excitement, how much fun in life that we would really miss out on. It would be a tragedy, really. So when we have this mindset to constantly be listening for God, it creates, it lets every moment be an opportunity for him to teach something new to us. Every moment, every minute, every second, he can teach something new to us. So I hope this was encouraging to you all, and I truly am speaking to those out there who feel callings on their life that aren't necessarily in church and ministry or ministry. I'm speaking to the students, to the mothers, to the waitresses, to the computer engineers, to the facility managers, to the dog walkers, to the teachers. God wants to speak to you in your classroom. God wants to speak to you at your office desk. He has things to tell to you. He has a heart to show you new things. He loves you, and he has things to say to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a creative God. We thank you that you love the poetic and the beautiful. We thank you that you have things that you want to teach us and show us, and we just pray that you would open us up to hear more and more of you. Would you open up our ears to hear from you, God? Would we not feel bound by our circumstances or our physical locations, God, but would we be able to hear you anywhere in any way, God? Amen.
Give it up for Claudia. Thanks for letting God speak to you. Dude, you're so awesome. Thank you for being such a great, like, big sister to the girls in reality. You are amazing. Give it up one more time for Claudia. This next young man that I'm going to bring up, even though I'm not technically supposed to have favorites, is one of my favorites. He really is like a little brother to me. And I love him so much. I couldn't say enough about this guy, so I'm just gonna let him speak for himself. JT Forbes.
It is a fat Bible. Morning, everyone. My name's JT Forbes, and I've been here at Gateway for just about 5 to 6 years, and I've been an intern at Reality for give or take 3 years. And so when I think of church and Christianity on my life, I think of being younger. I know I'm only 16, but like younger than that. And I just remember going from church to church to church to church to different services, different beliefs, different, I mean, they're all kind of Christian, but like different sides of Christianity. You can't believe what some people are preaching. But I just remember going to all these different services with my family or with my mom and never getting filled and never feeling like I've received the word of God, and so, until I found this place, which was great. I never felt like I had the family, the home, till I came here and I met these people, and I realized, I was like, these are my people, this is my home. And so, on to the point of my sermon, which would be the community, your community, and how what and who you choose to surround yourself with will affect who you become in the future.
That's right.
And so during that cycle of life and during that time period where I'd go from church to church, I was around middle school age, elementary school. And so luckily, there was a club on my school campus called X Club, which not too many people remember, but it was an outreach program from Gateway, which was great. And so I got to meet these people, and I got to get this fulfilling, you know, this is what Christianity, this is what believing in God is. This is the feeling of God. And so this, during this time, I had some friends that, even for middle school, which I want to emphasize, that is 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds. They were bullies. They picked on people for how they looked, for how athletic they were, what they did. And they chose to surround themselves with drugs, sex, gangs. And that was the people I was hanging out with before I met these people. I chose to surround myself with those types of people. And so one of the biggest influences on people is their friends, the people you hang out with at work, your Instagram feed, your Facebook pages, for some people that still use Facebook. I know, my mom's raising her hand because I know she loves Facebook. And so, but luckily when I met the people from Gateway, I found my new family, who luckily they were able to help me and shape my moral compass. And so some advice I want to give to some people that question, you know, if the people around them are the people that you should call yourself, call them friends. And so, first point, are they promoting God? And are they promoting His will on your life? It's a pretty easy question. You can walk up to them and be like, hey, or at least people from my age, you want to come with me to reality? You want to come with me to a church event? And if their first response isn't yes, and their second one isn't let me check my calendar, then maybe you should really sit there and think, you know, are they the one? And so, and a big one with today's day and age is, are they promoting things like drugs, sex, and the party lifestyle? Because if they are, then that is a big no. That is a massive not the move, not the people, not the crew you want to surround yourself with. And so because these people understand that the devil is coming for your life, at any time, any moment, anything, subliminal messages everywhere, he could be coming for you. And so what I could talk about is for people like recovering drug addicts, for people that have pornography addictions, do not surround yourself. Do not hit that follow request for, you know, for these models, these, you know, you just have to watch what you surround yourself with. And so number two would be, are they supportive enough to bring you up but smart enough to know your boundaries? This kind of means when you have your sights set on something to achieve, you've said something. They will find ways to have your back and basically make you feel like anything is possible. But yet they're smart enough of friends to know that things are doable on your own, but sometimes can use a help. This is saying something like, I can't look left and right at the same time without a little bit of help. And so these people know your boundaries, know where they have to help you. And so I'd really like to pray right now for everyone. If you guys could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I just want to pray over these people that if anyone's questioning their friendships right now, that they may raise their hands up and that they may receive your word. If the people sitting in the cafe are watching this right now, that they raise their hands and understand your will on their lives, and the people that they choose to surround themselves with and the things that they choose to surround themselves with will influence where they're going. And so I just want to pray over everyone. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, JT. Yeah. I love charismatic young people that set the standard, that know they're an influencer and say, this is what I'm going to be about. You want to be about it with me? Thank you for setting that. Mr. JT, the leader. And that smile can make you a lot of money someday. For the next person. In Jesus' name. No. I get the privilege to introduce one of my really close friends, a guy that I've lived with. I've watched his life. And we believe here at Gateway that you're in a group and you lead a group. So if you're in a group, you can get filled up. And if you're leading a group, you can pour into people. And so it's just a constant overflow that you're working from. And so this young man is a part of Young Professionals as well as leader, as a leader in Lyft and Young Adults. So without further ado, Andrew Olson, who also has a great beard.
Good morning, church. If you don't know me, I'm Andrew. I'm a 30-year-old engineer. Got a mix of eclectic hobbies. As Micah said, I'm a member of the Young Professionals community and a leader in Lyft. And it's a trip being up here, because if you know my story, man, I had a fear of speaking, fear of people, and it used to be a struggle to get me to say anything to people. I just sit out in the hallway and, you know, say like one word answers to people and stuff. I thank God that he's taken me through that, but it's an ongoing process, and you know, you're still more likely to find me serving behind the scenes and whatnot. But I believe speaking this message today is like a huge significant step for me. How many of you know that God loves to use you despite your fears and your weaknesses? So we're going to be looking at that today, and we'll be taking a look at Moses, a man that I very much relate to in choice of footwear, beard style, and and insecurity in speech. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 16, it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute, deaf, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.' But he said, 'O my Lord, please send someone else.' Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, 'Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as him to God.'" I felt a lot like Moses in the moment that Micah asked me to speak. I had thoughts of, I don't have anything to say. I'm not quick with my words. I'm not comfortable speaking in front of a crowd. I'm not knowledgeable. All those thoughts filled my head. And Micah even assumed that I'd say no to this, but but he still asked, and I'm glad that he did. During worship the next morning, I was talking to God about this, and three passages just quickly jumped in my head. The passage in Exodus that we just read, the passage in Jeremiah where God calls Jeremiah, and Jeremiah responds, "I cannot speak, for I'm only a youth." And the passage in Matthew about the Holy Spirit giving us the words to speak when we don't know how to respond. I got all those scriptures, and it was like, wow, I think God's calling me to speak today. So even though I had all those scriptures and stuff, I was still coming up with excuses left and right, just like Moses. In the beginning of the chapter, we see Moses getting shown some miraculous signs by God: the burning bush, his staff turning into a serpent, and his hand becoming leprous. Moses still lets his insecurities about speaking overrule God's miraculous power and the call on Moses' life. Moses' remark, neither recently or in time past, says that he dealt with these insecurities about his speaking for most of his life, and he's let it become a part of it. I believe God's response to Moses in verses 11 and 12 was also his response to me. "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." So much of me wanted to say no, but also so much of me knew that it was from God, and that this was something that he wanted me to do. So I'm here now, despite my fears and insecurities about this. And that I believe God is with me, and that he's speaking through me today. Moses, however, he continues to let his insecurities rule his decisions in that moment. He asked God to send anyone else but him. I did not ask God to send someone else. But God ends up sending Aaron, but doesn't let Moses off the hook. Moses is going to speak God's word to Aaron, and then Aaron will speak to the people. But if we continue the story in Exodus, we see Moses eventually becoming the voice of God to the children of Israel, not through Aaron, but himself. He leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, commands the Red Sea to part, and receives the Ten Commandments. What a transformation from a man insecure about his speaking abilities to a man with such faith to command the Red Sea to part. God loves to use us despite our insecurities and weaknesses, like I asked before. Through that, we can only claim that it was by God's power and not ours that we accomplished what he was calling us to do. I'm not sure when that change happened in Moses, but I believe for us, it is when we lay down our insecurities and submit to God and his call on our life that we begin to change. We need to get the focus off ourselves and what we can't do and onto God and what he can do. We must lay down our insecurities that have become a part of us. We must lay down our insecurities that have become a part of us so that God can transform us. Are there some insecurities that you're holding on to that are keeping you from God's call in your life? Ask God about it and let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. Then begin the process of submitting it to God and walking in who God made you to be. It'll be a challenging process, I admit, but that's when we experience growth. We don't have to worry because God will be with us the entire time. God was with Moses, talking with him and guiding him the entire way. With God's help, Moses worked through his insecurities and became the man that God created him to be. God will do the same for you as he did for Moses and is doing for me. Let me challenge you with one last thought. What will you do in the security of God rather than letting it be an insecurity? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I thank you that you've all given us a voice and words to say. I thank you that you are more powerful than our insecurities. Amen.
Come on. Andrew. Andrew, let me just say that you're like, you're searching for your identity. Let me give you a piece of that identity right now as you're speaking. I just got a big piece for you. You're called to be a carrier of the presence. When you speak, I'm serious, man. Even in our life group together, when you speak, I feel the presence of God. And I just want you to know that. And it's not about how secure you are, how confident you feel. It's just about you being obedient. Good job. So our final speaker for this service, we have more next service. I hate that it's over too. Our final speaker is actually a member of our staff here at Gateway. And she is, I just have to say, it's Charlene Chow. I have to say, yeah, give it up for her. Come on. Come on, Charlene. I just have to say that this lady right here is a rock. She is a rock in our community, and I just really appreciate you, Charlene.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it. Too. Oh gosh. So I'm Charlene. How are you guys doing today? I'm just really honored to be speaking with you, talking to you guys today. Man, you guys believe in God's plan? I do. Come on. All right. So who grew up with siblings? All right. How many of you grew up with one other sibling? One other? Two other siblings? Three other siblings? Anyone grew up with four other siblings? Dang. Y'all probably had it rough, huh? Well, who's the youngest? Who grew up the youngest in the family? All right, guys. Let's be friends. So in my family, it's my mom and my dad, my average-looking brother, my beautiful sister, Sylvia. She's probably right here. Me and our two dogs, Molly and Hunter, which we love so much. Maybe a little too much. Now, being the youngest, I struggled a lot with feeling like I wasn't heard or I wasn't listened to, or what I had to say wasn't important. With between the age gap with my brother and sister and both my parents working, I also struggled a lot with loneliness. And I suppressed a lot of my feelings because of those things, because I felt like no one cared. I felt like, you know, nobody wanted to listen to me, which is obviously a lie. But sometimes it is easier to believe in a lie than the truth, because that's what we're familiar with, right? So I grew up in church, but there was a low point in my life where I walked away from God. I felt like a good father, you know, as people like to call him, wouldn't let me endure such hardships. But I've come to realize that he let me endure those so I can be stronger. Like that song that Janelle was singing, New Wine, like, man, God's plan, like everything's just falling into place. So I basically cussed him out, which I repented for, obviously. I wouldn't be here now if I didn't. And I tried to figure things out on my own. I looked for acceptance from friends that didn't really care about me. I wanted relief through self-harm, and I was constantly changing myself to fit into different groups I was in. Because of this, it left me with feelings of anger. I had trust issues, brokenness, and depression. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, depression is still something that I face. But, you know, that's my journey. And for some people, it's maybe dealing with a difficult marriage or just going through the daily grind of going to school, getting your degree, paying the bills. Everyone's journey looks different. And with that, I'm going to share a passage from Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked paths shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And a lot of times we feel like we're walking through the wilderness, or we don't really know what God's plan in our life is, or we're just feeling confusion in general. But this verse assures us that no matter where you step, even if you don't always feel it, God is right there backing you up, and he never leaves you hanging. You know, the creator of the universe is fighting your battles for you, and he's already won them. God will lead you to where you need to go. It doesn't say that God will magically transport you from one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain, right? You still got to go through it, still got to make the journey. But you have to go through the valleys, the mountains, and the crooked paths to get to where you need to be. When you put your trust in God and have faith that he will follow through, because he always does, that's when you experience healing and breakthrough. And now, trust is something that is built. Spend time with him constantly, intentionally, even if it's just, you know, your walk to your other class, or, you know, just on your drive to work. Read your Bible, get plugged into a life group, pray, worship. You'll start to recognize his presence and feel his peace in every situation. And you can try to make it on your own, but without God, you'll feel burnt out, frustrated, and unsatisfied. Even when you are following God, there are times when you receive some unfortunate news. There will be days when you lose someone. There will be days when you wake up and you just feel worthless or hopeless, or like you're losing control, or that you're not enough. But how many of you guys know that our God is always enough? Only he has the power to fill the valleys, to lower the mountains. And only he has the authority to make the impossible obtainable. I'm going to leave you guys with this. When you put your trust in God, you can and will feel the confidence in knowing that he will guide you in your journey. And yeah, thank you. I don't know. Should I pray? Let me pray for you guys really quick. And let's give it up to all the other people who spoke to us. Lord, Father God,
I just thank you so much. I thank you that you're a good father. I thank you that you care for us. I thank you that you are ordering our steps, and I thank you that you have a purpose in our life and a destiny in our life. And I pray that we'll be able to lean more into you, Lord God. I pray that we'll be able to just stay in your presence and always be conscious of your voice and of your inclinations. God, I pray for everyone in this congregation, Lord. Anyone feeling, you know, like the negative thoughts, Lord, the lies, God, I push that all away. And I pray that we all focus only on you, Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Good job, Charlene. Give me five on that one.
Give me five on that one. Awesome. I hate that this is over. This is so good. When they stop, I go, oh, there's got to be time for more. In a few minutes, we're going to close the service. Jordan and Micah are here with me. I want to ask them a couple of questions. But I just feel God moving, you know, in this time. And I just want to say at the end of the service that we're going to have some prayer counselors up here. If you're going through something or you're not sure how to get out of the place of being stuck where you are, maybe moving forward in your life spiritually with God's love and with some of the things that you've heard today, we want to talk to you. We want to pray with you and help you through that, especially if you've never made that decision to yield your life to the Lord. You know, you don't have to get up to a level of perfection before God will love you. You don't have to wait. You just come as you are. And you just say, Jesus, I need you, and I can't do this alone. And then God fills you with power to live and to get better and to get strong. I think that's what we're seeing in these lives here today. So if that's a challenge to you or an encouragement to you, let us help you to turn your life over to Christ. Or if you've drifted from him, you know, we wanna help you out with that. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. We're all messed up, man. we all sin, and we all are saved by grace. So just come and let us pray with you in just a few minutes when the service closes. Today is an important day because there's nothing theatrical about what's happening here. We're not trying to put on a show like, oh, look what our young people are doing. This is ministry. This is life. This is what we're committed to. Young people aren't in the way, and they're not special. They're just like every one of us. And so what we're doing is very authentic and giving them a platform, giving them the time to speak what's happening in their lives so that we can all kind of get behind what's happening. These two men and their wives and their teams that stand with them are fighting the battle, fighting the good fight for this generation, because they know, they understand how the enemy is coming against this generation. And I just want to say to you two men, thank you, and your wives, and to your teams that are standing with you, thank you for rearranging your life so that this could happen and 100 other stories like that. That's very important. But truthfully, it's not just your burden. It's my burden. It's all of our burden. It's all of our jobs to care about what's happening in this next generation, to invest in them, and at the very minimal, to love them and pray for them. And I want to encourage our church to continue to love and pray for this next generation and those that are on the front lines working with them, because it's not always easy. It's not always convenient. It's not always, there's not always a lot of perks for working with young people. But we do want to pray for you guys. And could you just take maybe 30 seconds and share your heart for why are you doing this? Why are you, and what are the things that we could pray and maybe help you with as a church that cares about the next generation?
Yeah. So the reason that we do youth group, me and my wife April, we both pastor together. The reason that I do it is because I grew up in youth group, and the reason that I'm here today is because I had leaders in my life that called things out in me, and I would not be here without those older people in my life. So I want to be that for somebody. And in Reality Youth Group, we try to do two things. We try to help every young person encounter Jesus and find community. And we believe that those two things, if those two things happen, that their lives can forever be changed. We don't want them to find what they're looking for out in the world. We don't want them to find, I mean, it's great that they have friends at school and all that, but man, I want their family to be here. And so we're just trying to create an environment where young people can come in and feel like they don't have to worry about the world. They can just focus on Jesus and focus on finding some good friends that prayerfully and hopefully they'll be able to run with for the rest of their lives. So whatever me and April can do to be a big brother and big sister to some of these young people and help them navigate, that's what we're gonna do. And I ask that you guys consider being a part of that. And like Pastor said, everyone can be a part of it, even with prayer. Just praying. Every time you see a teenager walking in the halls of this church, you know, just, you know, don't walk up to them or anything. Just as you're passing them, you can... Pentecostal. Just as you're passing by, you can say, God, reveal yourself to that young person. Reveal yourself to that young person in Jesus' name. And I would appreciate that.
Thanks. My name is Micah, and I get the privilege of serving the young adults. Why do I do it, Pastor? Because I know what happens when you're a part of a group of people that holds you accountable, that pull the best out of you, that you do life with, that you can encourage one another. And in our world, can I just tell you, they're running their lives on their phone, and it's no longer like just within these four walls. We need fathers. There's so many teachers, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy or whatever, one of the Timothys, Paul said, you have thousands of teachers, but not many fathers. And this is a church that needs to father. We can bridge the gap by fathering the next generation. And it's not that there's a separation, right? Like, we know more, you know more. We all just trying to grow together and live together and love together. And if I can be a bridge, to make church taste a little better to the young people. I sell software full time. I'm in the technology world. That's what I do full time. But my heart is to see people far from God come and have their lives changed. And I believe in what we're doing here at Gateway. I believe in our community. I believe in the spirit of a local church and what God can do through it. And so, Pastor, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to serve and to love on these amazingly gifted young people. They have such creative ways to reach people. And if we just give them a platform and a place to sprint in, watch what happens. Because the world is winning in so many ways. They're defining identity. But how many of you know the only thing that's going to last is the identity of Jesus? And so I want to be able to teach that. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity.
Thank you, man.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. This first young man that I'm going to bring up is such a special guy to me. Like, I love him so much. And ever since he came to our youth group, our whole youth group has gotten better. Our whole youth group has gotten better. He brings light with him wherever he goes. He has just such a contagious joy and love for God. He really inspires me. Like, the way that he talks, I'm like, dang, man, I need to have more faith. Will you guys welcome up with me David Winya?
Good morning, Gateway. So real quick, before I start, I just wanted to say I recognize that my words, whatever I say, they can't change any life. Only God's words matter the most. So while I'm speaking, I just want to encourage you, just between you and God, to just ask him to reveal to you what he wants to say, because only what he can speak to you is going to matter. So I just want to share something that God has done in my life, because I believe that he can do it in your life too. So I grew up in a good home and in a really loving family. My parents are Christian, and so when I was growing up, my parents taught me about how Jesus died on the cross for me, and how you know, he dies for your sins, and you're forgiven because of that. But And because of that, if you accept that, that you go to heaven. And so as a young person, as a five-year-old, I saw that and went, oh, okay, I want to go to heaven. So so I accepted him into my heart. But I didn't really fully understand what that meant. And so as I was growing up, severe stress really and anxiety both really just really ruled me. And they really took over a lot of areas in my life, especially including my academics, my social life, or my sports performance. I mean, you name it. And yeah, I just had so much stress. I mean, a typical day would look like I would wake up in the morning and I would think about the day. I would think about the school that I have or what do I needed to do. And I just got so stressed. It became so big in my mind, even though it wasn't that big of a deal. And this stress was like, what on earth was it coming from? Because, you know, everyone has a little bit of stress or a big stress when they have a big assignment, but this was every single day I would wake up and that stress was there. And so we're like, what on earth is this stress coming from? And so, because my parents weren't putting unnatural pressure on me or anything, they were loving and supporting me, in fact. I didn't have an unnormal workload. I had regular work. It was just, everything was just so stressful for some reason. And I realized it was because I was putting that pressure on myself. And I was putting that pressure on myself because I believed that I had to be perfect to be loved by God. And I believed that if I wasn't perfect, that there was only perfect or there was failure. So I believed if I wasn't perfect, then I was a failure. And of course, I mess up all the time. So I believed I was a total failure. And I believed that God didn't love me at all. And so, yeah. My insecurities were getting a strong grip on my identity and who I was becoming. And I didn't believe I could reach God's plan for my life at all. And I truly did not understand what his love really is. God revealed to me through several adults in my life, including my parents, that God's love wasn't something I really knew in my heart. It was only something I knew in my head. Because growing up in church, I always knew the right answer. Does God love you? Yes, yes. But, you know, did I really know that in my heart? What did that feel like? You know, I didn't understand why he would just love me. And so in my heart, I thought God didn't care about me, in fact. And so I had to repent of that unbelief to him and give that to him. And so as a result of that, my heart began to open up to him and he started to work in my life. And one of the ways that he showed me his love was by giving so much patience and perseverance to my parents for just continuing to just love and pour out of me my whole life. I just thank you for that. And another way that he loved me was by bringing me to Gateway's youth group. I've been here at Gateway for about 4 years, by the way. And one of the ways he showed me his love was by bringing me to the youth group here and bringing Pastor Jordan to my life and Pastor April and the whole leadership team who really made it a place where I could fully just actually experience who God really is and really experience his presence and his love. And in fact, one of the ways God showed me his love was through the people here who showed me their love and care, not because of what I did or what things to do, just because of who I was. And that's God's love. He doesn't love for what you do or what your identity is or what you try to be. He loves because of who you are, because he made you, and you are his creation, and there's things in you that only he knows, and he loves that. And so I was still too stressed all the time, though. I was becoming better, but more relaxed, but the stress was still controlling me too much, and I realized it was because I wasn't trusting God. And, you know, a big part of loving God is trusting him and saying, God, you know what? I don't understand what's going on. I don't know how this works. I don't know anything but that you have it all in control. You're going to control it, and you're going to take care of it. And so a couple years later, during one of the summer internships here, I came to a point where I said, okay, God, I'm either in with you or I'm not. And so I chose to engage with God. And after I did, he brought me from being stressed all the time to having a purpose and
trusting him to accomplish that purpose, because only he can do that. And he gave me focus on the things I really want instead of the things that I was using to distract myself. Like, for example, I used to play video games like 5 hours a day at least, like just all the time, because it's not like they were bad video games, but I was just playing it at an unhealthy level to escape the pain that I had. And only God can take that pain away. And so he helped me focus on him by helping me to discipline myself in my free time. He let me know through his word that I don't have to reach his plan for my life, because he's going to bring me there. So I don't have to try to be enough, because in his mind, I'm already enough, because he made me enough in him. And now I'm learning more of his love every day. And I'm so thankful for it. But many of you may be feeling like I did, where you feel like you were worthless, or you feel like you're just a disappointment, or something may have happened to you, and you may not feel like God's love is really there for you. Yeah, he loves me, but does he really love me? And I just want to encourage you right now that God loves you no matter what, and he's the only one who has the most real love in this entire world, and he loves you no matter what mistake you're going to make, no matter what doubt you have, no matter what pain you have in your heart. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And Romans 8:38 through 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is the most unstoppable thing ever, and nothing can save you except his love. So I just want to pray with you real quick. God, I just thank you so much for everyone that's here today, God. God, I just thank you for your love and how everlasting and sovereign you are, God. God, I just pray that you would just speak to these people here tonight, God, or today. And God, I just pray that that you would heal their hearts and you would speak to them, Lord. And that they would choose to accept and really feel your presence, God. God, I just pray that they would open up their hearts to you and really let your love flood their heart in every area, God. God, I just pray that you would be with them, God. And I just thank you for everything that you want to do, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Give it up for David. David, are your parents here? Can you just stand up, your parents? I just want to honor you. Thank you. Every parent in this room, thank you. As a young father, I hope that my child stands up here and talks about how I provided a security and a place and invested and got them in church and got them built on the solid foundation of Jesus. I just want to honor every parent in here. Thank you for doing the work and being the hero. Thank you. So for the next person, I have the privilege to introduce someone that I've just got to know, and I am so honored to know him. He has a quiet strength, and he has a way of viewing and imagining God that I think is super practical, and I want to introduce him. And I think if you open your hearts, you're going to have a word of insight that might just change your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday and your Thursday. Nate Bartel, please come. Thank you.
Good morning. Oh, man. You guys ready? Awesome. I'm not, apparently. So what I want to talk with you about today is thirst. So the other day, I was at work. And, you know, at work, I need some energy. Who needs work energy, right? So I was drinking an energy drink. And I drank it until it was gone. And I'm like, dang it. Now all I have left is water. I don't want to drink water. Water is plain. It has no flavor. I don't want it. And we're like, you know what sounds good right now? A nice cold Coke. Unless you like Pepsi, but anyway. But then in that moment, it got me thinking. What if there was a man who all he had to drink was soda? It was the only drink that he knew there was nothing else. Everyone around him just drinks this soda. So every time he's thirsty, he has to drink it. And we all know soda is full of sugar. The only good thing about it is that it tastes good, right? So even though it's destroying his inside, he has to drink it, because if he goes thirsty, he'll die, right? So then there was this other man who used to be like the man who only drank Coke, but then he found of this water that he drank once and was never thirsty again. He never needed to go and get a Coke. So as that picture formed in my mind, it reminded me of when Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. And the particular part I want to talk about is when Jesus describes the water of the world versus the water that he gives. So in John 4:13, he says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We all thirst for something, I believe we all thirst for purpose, for hope, for a future, things that this world cannot satisfy. We're stuck, before we know Christ, we're stuck here drinking soda because it's all we know. And we become dependent on the things of the world to fulfill this thirst for purpose. But when we receive Christ, before we receive Christ, we try to quench this thirst through the desires of the flesh by the things of the world. So it's kind of like drinking a soda. The thing of the world would be the soda, and then the desires of the flesh would be your taste buds. So the only thing that the things of the world can do is fulfill your desire for the flesh. So as we think about the water that Jesus gives, when we receive this water from Christ, but actually in John 7, Jesus spoke of it again at the Festival of the Tabernacle, and it was the last and greatest day, and he spoke of the water again, and called it living water. And John put a side note that when he was talking about this water, he meant the Spirit. So when we receive that water, we're actually receiving the Holy Spirit. So God's inside of us. So when we receive the Spirit and drink of the water that Jesus gives us, we then live by the Spirit, being satisfied of our thirst for purpose and love and a future through our relationship with Christ. For all those things are only found in God. We can't find them in the world. So as I think about this, you know, it brings me to Romans 8, which is a great chapter, by the way. It really digs deep into understanding what the world and versus what Jesus and God gives us. But I want to focus on Romans 8:5. "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." So when we live according to the Spirit, we no longer thirst for the things of the world. For we are satisfied in God, for He provides and gives us all that we need. We have a change of mind through His Spirit, right? To where our mindset isn't on the desires of the flesh, but we change our mindset to be on the desires of the Spirit, which only God can fulfill. So we are no longer dependent on the things of the world to satisfy the desires of the flesh, but we are dependent on God, who satisfies the desires of the Spirit. At times, we will still have a craving for that soda, for the things of the flesh. But we forget that we don't thirst anymore. We don't need those things. Those things don't give us anything but that temporary satisfaction. But what we need to remember is what we have in Christ, the Spirit living inside of us, His love, the relationship we have. It's just so amazing. All the things that we have and are yet to come, and what we have in God is so much greater than what the world can give us. And when we as believers see other people, other believers grabbing for that soda, we need to remind them of living according to the Spirit. And it's a daily thing. It's not something that just happens in a moment. It's a daily striving to live according to the Spirit, to let go of the flesh, so then we can abide in Christ and know his love. So let us be reminded today to strive to live every day according to the Spirit, where there is life. For in Christ, there is no thirst. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you today for your Spirit, for giving us water so that we may not thirst anymore. So we are not looking for the things of the world, but looking to you, God, to you, for you are all that we need. Thank you for that thirst that drew me to the well of you. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, dude. Nate, you are a teacher. You're a teacher, man. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that.
No, not quite.
When you were standing up here, I just saw you. I saw you doing this, teaching the word and changing people's minds and hearts about God through your passion for his word. Give it up for Nate one more time. It's awesome. So good. All right. Are you guys ready for a mind bender? Okay. Real quick. When I was in junior high, I had a youth pastor. I actually had two youth pastors. And one of them is sitting here today. Kerry Stewart was one of my youth pastors. And now her daughter is in the youth group that I pastor. And her daughter hangs out with my four-year-old. So this is like a powerful picture of legacy to me. And I want you guys to get ready because Chelsea Stewart is a special anointed young woman of God. Come on up, Chelsea.
Thank you, Jordan. As he said, I'm Chelsea. Hi. So I wanted to share something I went through recently. Over this past year, I went through the loss of a very important relationship. One of the most important I've had, actually. This was a person I loved very much and I would go to for everything. Over the course of 3 years, I had put all my time and energy into one person. My time with God and others had faded and my time with that person only grew. It was like I had tunnel vision. I couldn't see anything beyond it. I put so much weight and expectation on this relationship that it defined the mood that I was in on a daily basis. I would hear from my family that I should be careful, but I couldn't see where they were coming from. I mean, how was it bad? I was just pursuing what made me happy in those few moments. But I soon found out it was a trap that I fell into thinking that one person could bring me everything I needed. The truth is, we are all human, and humans will disappoint you. When you put someone in the place where God should be, and that person leaves your life is turned upside down. You're a mess, and that is what happened to me. Once that person left my life, I didn't know what to do next. I was so hurt. I cried out to the Lord. I felt hopeless, confused, and broken. I felt like the ground was taken out from under me. I didn't feel like I could ever recover. But then I realized, even through this pain, my Father was here waiting for me. He never left my side. It was like I was running from him. But as soon as I turned back around to him, he was right there. There was no distance. He got a hold of me again. He caught every tear of mine. He gave me a foundation to stand on. He has and is continuing to restore me. He reintroduced me to his love. The Bible says in Psalms 56:8, "You have kept record of my days of sorrow. You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them." Do you know that God is faithful to us even when we aren't faithful to him? He is so good. So how do we get back on track? What do we do if our ground is gone and we have nothing to stand on? I want to give you three things that have been my safety net this year. Go to God. Who has ever felt like God isn't there? Maybe you feel like you're unable to hear God, or that he can't hear you. Or maybe you feel like you're not special or good enough to hear from him. I know I have felt that way. But guess what? Before you even cried out to God, he was there. God is present before you even know you need him. Isaiah 65:24 says, I will answer them before they call for help. I will help them before they finish asking. God heard you before you cried out, before you went to him. And he says, I am here for you. I'll be real with all of you. I have ADHD, and it can be so hard to focus. I'll be in the middle of praying and like, God, please help me, sitting in silence. And then I'm just thinking like, I really want a burger right now. Like, I get off topic so easy and I feel bad, but I just have to push through because God isn't looking for perfection. He just wants me to come to him. He's looking for real, for me to be me. And there are times where I'm burned out or discouraged, and then I feel like God is just with me. His presence is bringing me peace as I go to him. I feel lifted up because he gives me everything I need in the moment. That is what a relationship with God is. It's not a religion, it's real. He will never disappoint us. Romans 5:5 says, this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. If this is how you feel, keep pressing in. You will not be disappointed. The second thing to do is, to get back on track, is read the Bible. We have to know what God is saying. The Bible is literally God's voice on paper. I know this, and I used to struggle reading it, mostly because I didn't always understand it. I mean, like, when I went to the Bible for encouragement and I read about chopping off your hand if you steal, or Elijah beheading the 70 prophets, like, that was brutal. And to be honest, I did not feel better after that. But we have to keep seeking. Luke 11:9 and 10 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. So the more I go to the Bible, the more promises I find waiting for me. For example, when I'm overwhelmed, I see that God will put me on a firm foundation, like it says in Psalm 61. And when I am afraid, God says he will shelter me with his wings. He will not let my foot slip. When I don't know where to go or what decisions to make, the Bible says in Psalms 119 that your word is like a lamp that guides my steps, a light that shows the path I should take. So the more we read, the more our path is made clear, because he lights the way for us. The Bible is like our compass. It shows us which way to go. We have to stay plugged into that compass so we are pointed the right way. Yes. My last point is stay in community. Sometimes it's hard to make friends, and that's okay. It's hard for everybody. It's not just you. We have to be open to the opportunities that God presents to us. When we are only focused on one person, we will miss out on the people around us. We need people. We cannot do life alone. Have you heard about the term putting all your eggs into one basket? That came from the 17th century. They would send a person out to collect the eggs from their hens and travel back to their homes. If all the eggs collected were in one basket and the basket was dropped, they're gone. So instead, they gathered multiple people who each held a basket and they carried the eggs back together. By doing this, if one basket fell, there were only out a few eggs. There were many other baskets. In the same way, if we invest all we have into one person, first of all, that's a lot of pressure. But second, if and when that person fails us, because they will, we will be left. We won't be left without any eggs. But if we find friends to do life with, we have those that encourage us, those to spend time with, those that we go to coffee with and confide in, there's an unending stream of life available to us. That is why God wants us to do life with people. God is literally found in community, because Matthew 18:20 says, whenever two or three of you come together, I am there with you. So if we remember to go to God, read the Bible, and stay in community, our focus can remain right. We can be on the right track. Be real with God today and let him be the first spot in your life. So let's pray. God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for picking up where I left off, broken and confused. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. You are our firm foundation. I pray that you reach every person here today, that you'd impact their life, God, make a change. If they have felt distant from you, God, it's time to seek you. It's time for community. In whatever area they need you in, God, I pray you would be there. Light the path and show the way, God. Help us not to go back on old habits. I pray for unity today. You would join us together. Bring friends to those who are lonely. Give community to those who are seeking it. Thank you. You are here with us now, God, in this very room. You are changing us. You are healing broken hearts. You are listening to our cries. There is no distance from you, God. You are so faithful. We give you our lives today and thank you that you will complete the work you started in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chelsea Stewart. Can I just say, legacy is clear. She's a pastor, and she's scaring me. Thank you for pastoring me. You are so good. It's crazy. Thank you. That this is what I love about generations, because the next generation should get better. Yeah. Carrie, she'll give you a run for your money, sister. Man, this has been good. It's only going to get better. I'll get off the stage because someone that can pronounce a word is coming up. Heather McIntyre. I tell her this all the time. Yes, give it up for her. She's what we call a number two in our life group, and she leads so faithfully. And I always say this to her, and I want to say it in front of everyone because I'm not going to get the opportunity to say it. She's a gallon lover in a cup world. And she has a way of feeling for people and empathizing on people on a level that just, it challenges me. And so I want to thank you, Heather, for challenging me. And open your hearts. She's going to challenge you, too.
Okay. Hi, again, I'm Heather. I am the youngest child of three, of two very loving but now separated parents. And I'm really competitive. And I blame this on my brother being 13 years older than me and very competent, and my sister being 5 years older than me and also very competitive. But due to those age gaps, I was always losing. A 5-year-old competing with an 18-year-old doesn't work out very well. That losing kind of ended up badly for me. It pushed me to be stronger in many aspects of my life, but often in my family, I felt kind of powerless. They love me and I love them, but we are a broken family, and I was always praying for things to get better and for our family to be surrounded by God, and it didn't seem to work. We had a lot of struggles. My dad struggled with mental health, and 2 years ago, he had a mental breakdown and decided to disown me and my siblings. He said he hated us and didn't want to see us ever again. Sorry to make you cry, Mom. and it shattered us more than it had broken us before. And I struggled for months how to handle it. I knew it wasn't him. I knew it was something else. And I knew God loved my father. And months later, he reached out to me and said he was sorry. And me and my siblings had no idea how to react. But I decided to pray, and I had friends who encouraged me, and I decided to forgive him and let him back. I don't struggle with trust issues, and that's something God has blessed me with somehow. But my family does. But and even in this place where I felt powerless, I decided I need to forgive my dad and fight for him in my family. And that's something kind of small on my end that I thought wasn't going to work. And it reminds me of the widow's offering. I'm going to read from Mark 12:41-44. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and all she had to live on." And this woman was powerless. They talk about before how the rich people were taking advantage of her and trying to take what little she had. She had no name, but she lives on in history. God made her so weak, so powerless, something great, something to teach Christians, for millions, millions of Christians, how to give and how to be obedient and faithful. And he didn't need to give her more power to do that. He didn't need to even give her name in the Bible. She was able to do it where she was at in the situation she was given. And she was able to be obedient to the tithe and give what she had. And so even though my forgiveness seemed like a big step for me, to other people it might have been small. And even though it was just a few conversations with my siblings I thought would lead to nowhere, my brother is talking to my dad again. And I pray that my dad will get to know his grandchildren. And my sister will heal. Oh, sorry. But I know everyone has places where they feel weak and powerless. And I don't want to be the head leader of my family, leading them to, like, I can't do that. I can't handle that pressure. That's other, you know, God's job. But everyone has moments in their workplace where they maybe feel like the bottom of the totem pole. And you don't have to be the CEO. We all feel the injustice in our nation and the problems in the world weighing down on us, and we think, what can we do? What can all of us do? Or other people have people lost in their family, and they're like, I have no influence over them. They're gone. But even in your place of powerlessness, of weakness, you have influence over the people in your lives through the instructions God has given you. He is always talking to you, giving you instructions on how to make his kingdom come in your life, in your community, in your country, in your world. And there's nothing that can stop that. Whether you're a nameless person giving your tithe to a church you feel like might not know you, they know you, they see you, and they thank you for your blessing. I don't know how long I've been. I want to encourage you in that. Be obedient to God, listen to him. And maybe you are meant to be the CEO of a company, but maybe you're meant to be a person who's gracious to the janitor, or gracious to the people around you, or simply have mercy on someone that hurt you really bad. I'd like to pray for you all and encourage you in your weakest points, because that's what we're here to do. Dear God, thank you so much for our situations and our lives and the blessings you have poured out on us. Thank you for giving us places where we can speak and we can be heard, and giving us actions and instructions on how to make your kingdom real here for the people around us. God, I pray for encouragement for these people that in places they feel powerless, they see your glory in all of that. They see your strength attainable to them, that they can reach out, grab it, and change this world. And I know our generation seem to be idealistic, but God, you are idealistic too. You tell us we can make things happen here, and I believe that, God. And I pray that belief is shared with everyone in this church, and we're going to change this city. Let I pray this in your name. Amen.
Come on. So I just want you to know that you were saying how you would pray for God to surround your family. I just want you to know that I can see that God is surrounding you. And I just got this picture in my mind, like of you walking through a heavy like forested area, and whether you like it or not, your family was behind you, and you had a torch in your hand, and the way that you were leading them through was you were burning away all the stuff that was in front of you. And that torch, I feel like God showed me, was your smile. So So I also want you to know that that God knows your name, and now everyone here knows your name. Give it up for Heather. I just got saved. Our last speaker of the day, maybe you guys haven't seen her much, and this, even though this is the first time some of you will be seeing her, she has been a leader and a minister for years. Yep. She has impacted everybody that she comes around. And she actually came up through the youth group, and now she's serving in our college community. And man, like, God has already used her life so much and will continue to use her life. Lean in and open your ears for what God wants to say. Let me bring up Bethany Valderrama.
Hello.
Love you too. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm just going to jump right into it. We all like stories, right? So I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a young woman, and she met a man. She fell in love. However, this man was already married, separated but married. She ended up getting pregnant with this man and having a little boy. This was hard on the woman's family because it was out of wedlock. But over time, the family learned to accept and forgive her on condition that this would be her last child with him. They actually ended up living together still, and natural things of life happened. They got pregnant again, but this time it was different. I have her words right here, because this time her world just shattered as she found out that this man was having an affair with another woman. She said her heart was ripped in pieces because she never thought it could happen to her. She was probably afraid, and she probably felt that shame, and she thought that she might be refused by her family. So during the first 3 months of this pregnancy, she drank herbal medicine to try to abort the child. But later on, she realized that it's better to give life than to abort. And then she came up with the decision to surrender the child for adoption. The title of my encouragement that I want to give today is Purpose of Pain. And as you can see here, like, we've all gone through something painful, and this is what I want us to go through right now. I know it's a painful topic, but let's journey together. Find a moment in your life that you have felt that pain, that deep, deep pain. It might have been a divorce, it might have been an illness, it might be the loss of a child, someone that you love so, so much. Something that can question why. And those moments, whatever that season or that moment, it is something that can make you or break you. And cliche speaking, but it hits deep, you know? And I'm gonna be raw with you today that I hit that moment 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago when I read this story. Because this story is my story. I am that child that she failed to abort. I am that child that when she gave birth, she couldn't look, nor hold, nor give name to. And I understand now that it must have been too painful at that moment to even look at me. And that's okay. But, man, it also brought up that deep pain again that I thought I had processed before. That pain of the loss of someone that I don't even know. I don't even know her, but it was there. And is that those moments when I go back and ask you, what is that moment that you hold? That moment that I had, what are we gonna do? Because we do have a choice in that moment how we are going to look at it. Are we going to let that pain define us? Are we going to let that pain be the lens that we look and live life through? Are we going to let God come in? Are we going to surrender it to him and says, you know, this is my story, but it's yours. This is for you. Are we going to let him bring that deep deep inner healing that only he can bring. I love this passage in Psalm 116, 7 through 9. It says, "Return to rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Now, this just baffles me because, like, God, he's the only true life, right? He's the only true life. And though we may go through these certain things, like, we're never alone to go through it. And he might need to bring us through some of those places, but it's just like a reflection of him and his story because, yes, Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead, right? And that same power that raised Christ from the dead, he wants to be your story in your life and redeem that pain in your life. So these words, that truth that we can live life with hope, that's the truth that he has placed in my life and what I believe that he wants for us. And it's just encouragement because, like, our story isn't over. Our story is not over. When I read this at the end, this is what brought me to tears. "We recommend that Bethany be permanently placed to a qualified adoptive parents who can provide all her needs and make her feel the joy of being loved and cared for and will consider her a permanent member of the family." Mom and Dad, can you please just stand up really quick? This is the Valderramas, my parents. And they took me in when I was 14 months old. And I'm so grateful for them and I love them so much. But what I'm even more grateful for is that I'm a permanent member of God's family. You know? It's only him that can help me see the beauty in the pain, that can help me see the story of redemption, not rejection, and to see what I've gained, not what I lost. Yeah. And as I said before, it's just beautiful because his story, that story of redemption, that story of love has become so much more powerful and true and intimate to me than it has ever been in my life. And it has caused me not to live in that pain. Yes, I feel it, that gut-wrenching, I don't know what to do with it sometimes, but it has spurred me forward to go live with more passion than I have ever known before, because, like, there's things in our lives, right, that we're like, why am I here? I shouldn't be here. How many of us can say, how did I come to this place? But we are here because God has a plan. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So I just want to go back to that question. What is the purpose of pain? What is the purpose of your pain? And I can't answer that. Only God can. But I also think there's a greater question of, is who does God want to reveal to him, to you as in your life in that pain, amidst that pain? Is it a father that you never had? Is it a friend whenever you felt alone? Is it a protector when you felt so vulnerable? Because that emptiness or that hole, he's the only one that can fill it. As you can see and hear and testify to all these people who have spoken, he is the only one. So I just pray that's my prayer, that we can be that living, breathing, passionate testimony of God's love in our life, that we can look at that pain in the face and say, yes, we feel it, but you can heal it and you can redeem it. So let me just pray really quick. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for your love, your deep love for us, God. And we thank you and rejoice even in those hard times, God, because we know that your love is powerful, your love is real, God, and that you want to use every single thing that we go through to glorify your name, God. So we just glorify your name here today. We praise you, God, and we just rejoice in your redeeming love for us. In your heavenly name, amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. Worship team, come on. I'm going to let you guys go down. You did so great today. Thank you for letting the Lord use you. I'm not proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm not proud of you because you did a song and dance. I'm proud of you because you allowed God to use you, because you allowed God to work through you. And that's what it's all about. They're going to come back and be available at the end of the service today to pray with you. Maybe something happened as they spoke and you'd like the chance to speak to them and maybe receive prayer from them. They're going to be the prayer team this afternoon as the service concludes. We're going to go out as we always do, worshiping the Lord and honoring Him with our tithe and our offering. If you're giving in the container today, that's great. Also, the other ways of giving through our app and online, we appreciate your generosity. We are investing in the next generation. For us, they're not a problem. For us, they're not in the way. For us, they're the future. They are the now. And that's what it's all about. And how many of you can see that the Church of Jesus Christ is probably going to be all right based on what He's doing in this next generation? Yeah? God is building the church. Jordan and Micah and April and Yedeni, would you guys all come up here? I want to honor you guys as well for being that team and the team that stands with you. That I know all of you have tons of people that are standing with you, but I just want to say, as lead pastor, how much I appreciate what you guys give. It's not always convenient. It's not always easy to get your arms around the next generation, to grapple with the problems they're dealing with. And sometimes they want help from you, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they're interested in other things. But God is using your lives. And I just want to say, if God is prompting you to get involved in the next generation, you need to connect with these leaders here at the end of the service and say, what would it look like for somebody my age or somebody that doesn't have many skills or somebody that has tons of skills? What would it look like for me to partner with you in reaching the next generation? Because that's what it's all about. So we're going to continue our worship, and the ushers are going to serve you. Thanks, guys. We're going to close the service in just a moment. But let's worship the Lord together and allow Him to bless us as we return in just a moment.
Church? I sure do. Will you give it up
for our worship team and all of our young adults and our high school kids. And can you give it up for our God? He deserves all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Well, we want to let you go, but I want to pray over you if that's okay. I want to remind you that there's an interest meeting. Me and my beautiful wife over the young adults will be right over here, and Jordan and his beautiful wife will be right over here for the youth. If you're interested, listen, we need your help. Can't do it alone. Please get involved. Please get involved because, man, we want to reach that next generation. And if it's just praying, great. Also, we have our amazing speakers today ready to agree with you in prayer for whatever may be on your heart, whatever God may touch. Amen? So I just want to pray a blessing over every single person in this room. May you be blessed and filled with the glory and the vigor of our God. May you walk in the kindness that leads us to repentance. And may you carry the grace that he has called you to in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Be blessed. We love you, church. Thanks for everything. You look better every week.